You're listening to The David Knight Show. Using free speech to free minds. It's The David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, December the 4th, 2019. I'm David Knight, and Kamala Harris is now history, isn't she? We're going to take a look at the 2020 campaign graveyard. The people who will not let us rest in peace, constantly hectoring us, robbing us, sending us off to war, killing us in various other ways. So we'll take a look at the many expired candidates, as well as the newly expired candidate, Kamala Harris. We will also be talking about Nancy Pelosi. She went to the Paris, not to the Paris Climate Accord, but to the one that's in Spain, going on right now, COP25, and told the people there that the U.S. is still in Paris. These people will not give up. And so we're going to talk about what that means, as Nancy Pelosi is saying, I know we're still subject to this Paris Climate Treaty that Obama and John Kerry self-ratified. We'll tell you what's going on there. And we have some big updates to the Epstein-Clinton pedophile rings. But let's begin by talking about what's going on with the drug cartels in Mexico. This story from Bloomberg. Talking about San Miguel, a very picturesque tourist spot. As they point out, it's got cobblestone streets, colonial-era buildings, wrought iron balconies, neo-Gothic steeples, high above the pink sandstone church. Beautiful place. You look at the pictures here. Really beautiful place. But lately, the drug cartels have moved in. And they've already done this in many other tourist sites, famous tourist sites like Cancun, Acapulco. You got murders that are happening on the beach. Tourists have been accidentally murdered there. And, of course, not a surprise, since Mexico has become more violent than any place on Earth right now. More people being killed there than anywhere. Syria, Afghanistan, Iraq, you name it. San Miguel has been attracting drug cartels lately. A restaurateur died in a hail of gunfire in front of horrified customers after he refused to pay extortion demands. The son of an owner of a construction material business was killed on his way to work. A tortilla shop owner in the nearby town of Celaya was gunned down, along with two of her employees, and a fruit vendor, a convenience store operator, another restaurateur, three cantina owners closed their doors after shakedown visits and are now lying low. And we're seeing this over and over again as these drug cartels who have been trafficking primarily in marijuana and cocaine, they're branching out into other businesses, especially after marijuana has now been legalized here in the United States. They're not going to go away. They're criminal organizations. We've created these criminal organizations with our war on drugs, which is not our war on drugs. Yes, we own it, and we passed it in violation of the Constitution, but it was a UN agenda. We signed on to that agenda in the same way that we signed on the Paris Climate Accord, kind of tangentially. It wasn't a ratified treaty or anything, but, you know, we just kind of, oh, yeah, we agree with that. And then 10 years later, Richard Nixon enacted it into law, the exact agenda that was created by the UN, all the four schedules with all the different drugs in those schedules, things like marijuana in as a class one drug, saying that it had no medical use. We know that's a lie. Everything about it is a lie. But what it has done is it's created very powerful drug cartels that President Trump has now labeled as terrorist organizations. But, you know, the interesting thing is that the Pentagon will only protect us from terrorists that they say are in Syria or Afghanistan or somewhere. They won't protect us from the terrorists in Mexico that they created. And, of course, they created the ones in Syria as well. They armed them, they trained them, they used them as surrogates for regime change. I tell you, when we look at the defense industry, It's beyond criminal. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
It's Wednesday, December the 4th, year of our Lord, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. As I was saying at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking about Pelosi going to the climate meeting in Spain, saying that we are still in Paris. We're also going to be talking about what's going on in Hong Kong. The protests have now spread to mainland China. That's a very positive thing. So we're going to talk about what is going on there in the fight for freedom. People who really understand and appreciate their freedom because they see it. They've had more of it than we have. And they're losing it more quickly than we are. So they understand what's going on. We'll also take a look at Kamala Harris. Bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. And the other candidates that have left. Even though their candidacies are dead, they will not let us rest in peace. We'll have a review of who's in and who's out. The list of people who's out is really pretty amazing. Many of these people I didn't even know were in, however. But we've got a comprehensive list of all of the zombie candidates, any of whom could be brought back to life as a running mate of somebody like Joe Biden. No malarkey about that at all. I mean, he could choose Kamala Harris, you know. get a woman of color in there, that somebody who's young, even though she criticized him. No, actually, it's Tulsi Gabbard who took her out. That's something we owe a debt of gratitude to Tulsi for. But I want to begin by talking about what's going on in Mexico with the drug cartels and how we're seeing the same thing happening now in Virginia. I just want to explain this to you. I'm going to show you what is happening in one beautiful, picturesque town in Mexico and how the same thing is happening now in Virginia. Because even though President Trump has labeled these organizations, these cartels that have been created by the UN war on drugs, it's the UN's war on drugs. It's not Richard Nixon. He embraced it. He got it put into law. He took credit for it, and I'll give him credit for it, good and hard. It's horrific how it has corrupted our law enforcement, our judiciary, our government, as well as other governments. And if you don't think the same kind of thing can reach this level in the United States, it's already reached in Mexico. Well, it has already done it in Virginia, and we'll show you how. But again, it's a picturesque town. Cobblestone streets and so forth, but now the drug cartels have moved in. At the top of the hour, I gave you a list of all the small businessmen that are being harassed by these cartels because, again, they've lost a big part of their profit center as marijuana has been legalized. See, we wouldn't have had these drug cartels if we hadn't had drug prohibition. You wouldn't have had Al Capone if you hadn't had alcohol prohibition. And you better remember this lesson when it comes to firearms. You want to create some very dangerous gangs that traffic in firearms, that refine and innovate firearms in the same way that alcohol production was refined and very innovative, the way we've seen with drugs. You know, they've taken things like alcohol during prohibition. They made it very intense, very dangerous. They produced wood alcohol. They don't care. These are people, they don't care about the welfare of their customers. Are you going to sue Al Capone? Are you going to sue the mafia? Oh, that product you gave me was defective. It made me go blind. You're going to sue these guys who give you synthetic marijuana or some kind of a mislabeled drug of unknown quality or concentration and you die from it? No. That's one of the fallouts of the of these prohibition wars. But if you think that you're not going to wind up with more dangerous forms of guns and more of it, did we ever cut down any use of alcohol or drugs? No, it actually got worse because, again, the The forms of it were more intense, but the actual quantity of it increased in both cases, and it will increase with guns. It's just that they will have all the guns. You, the law-abiding citizens, will be disarmed by Bloomberg. But let's take a look at what's going on as they've moved into things like avocados, for example. They're harassing the avocado industry. But this particular town, like Cancun, like Acapulco, like Mexico City, where tourists were going, it's now having escalating crime. Under the new president, Obrador, and his hands-off approach to crime, where he says, we're going to have hugs, not shots. Come on. Let's all just get along. Can't we just get along? Mexicans are being killed so far at a higher rate than the government has ever reported so far. 28,741 so far this year. So far this year. And, of course, their official totals are notorious for being low. Beheadings, mass graves, broad daylight shootings, and now in San Miguel. In August, and this is how it works, in August, according to a local shopkeeper and media reports, one gang dropped off bags of cocaine at a cantina. And they told the owner, these cocaine bags that we're giving to you are worth $15,300. And we're going to be back to collect the money in a couple of weeks. So, you know, here it is. You're going to sell this. Here's the price we expect to get from it, $15,300. And if we don't get it, you can imagine what's going to happen. What he did was he shut down the bar and fled from the city. And the same thing has happened at two other cities, they report. Now let's talk about Virginia. Washington Examiner reports they escaped MS-13 in Central America only to find the gang thriving in Northern Virginia. And I've talked about this as well many times. We've seen many, many incidents of this. But the one that really stuck out in my mind was a father whose child, I forget whether it was a boy or girl now, whose child was murdered by MS-13 gangs in Long Island. It stuck with me because of how prevalent that has become on Long Island, where my wife grew up. It's now been taken over by mass immigration, illegal immigration. And the fact that you have these illegal immigrants because of DACA, you know, they don't have to be born in the United States. They can just arrive as a child, you know, somebody under the age of 31. And isn't it interesting how they reinterpret those ages of children? See, if it's for a pedophile like Epstein or the Clintons, you're not a child at the age of 14. But if it's for illegal immigration, you're still a child at the age of 31. talk about double standards and malleable definitions. But they had fled El Salvador to get away from MS-13. But there's a lot of DACA recipients who come in. And again, ICE is told under Obama, do not harass these people. They are childhood arrivals protected by my DACA declaration, an executive order from the previous Homeland Security Secretary, not even from Obama, but, you know, from the executive branch. So in that sense, it was an executive order. And the judges say that President Trump is not allowed to do anything about it. And President Trump is obeying the judges who have no authority under the Constitution. And he is appealing to the Supreme Court. And he says, you know, a lot of these people are murderers, really bad people. But if the Supreme Court gives me a win, we'll let them stay. I'll work with the Democrats. We'll let them stay. I mean, that was the tweet that set off Ann Coulter and me. I could not believe that. It's like, how is that non sequitur? I mean, this is just beyond belief. But what we see happening is they say, well, they're DACA recipients, and even though they've got MS-13 tattooed all over their face, we can't say that they're MS-13. And so they killed this man's child over some kind of boyfriend-girlfriend rivalry at school. And he said, I thought I escaped MS-13 by going all the way to Long Island, New York from El Salvador. Well, guess what? If you got open borders, anybody can come. And the people that they are fleeing from will come here and they'll do the same thing to us. We'll turn our country into the kind of country that they were running from. Not safe for them, not safe for us because we don't want to have legal immigration. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I was just talking about how the drug cartels have moved into San Miguel. A very picturesque town in Mexico have taken that over. Like they have other tourist resorts. But, of course, they have moved into Virginia using some of the same tactics. As Washington Examiner reported, immigrants who fled Central American countries to get away from transnational criminal organizations such as MS-13 have come to the U.S. only to find the same exact gangs terrorizing Northern Virginia communities. Now, we've seen this and reported on this many times, as I said, you know, from Long Island, New York, down to Maryland, and now especially in Virginia. This is where this focus is for this particular report, but it's happening everywhere. MS-13 was incubated by the people in California who protected illegal immigration, and now that gang has spread all over the United States. Five federal and local officials who work on gang matters in the region told the Washington Examiner that while they do not have a way to calculate exactly how many people, we don't know, because nobody's tracking the border. We don't keep records. We catch, we release, we don't know. That's asylum seekers, temporary protected status recipients, that'd be DACA, immigrants, those without documents. Many of these have been are victims of crimes committed by MS-13. See, we don't really care, and people in California don't really care either. These Democrats who are running California, New York, and now Virginia don't care about the welfare of the people that they put up front. Say, look, these innocent people, they're just trying to escape violence. It's like, yes, that's true. But if you don't sort out the wheat from the chaff follows them through, and they're the first victims. So you not only don't care about Americans' lives, you don't care about these illegal immigrants that you are crying crocodile tears over either, do you? Because they're the first ones to get victimized, and they get victimized more than anybody else at the moment. Now, this violence is going to spread outside of these communities. But they're the ones being victimized right now. The immigrant communities in Fairfax County, Virginia, are on the receiving end of extortion, violence, and many other crimes. We know these gangs victimize their own communities, said the law enforcement agents. That's Francisco Klockner, a gang prevention coordinator with the Fairfax County Juvenile Domestic Relations District Court. And they said massive criminal networks like MS-13 are extorting immigrant communities because of their proximity as co-residents and because they know that these people won't report the crimes to police. And they focus on children. Why? Because of the DACA program. Because DACA was a free pass for anybody that was counted as a child, you know, under 31. Then they recruit young people. You know, they're not gonna harass you. So they go in and groom as gang members, young people, to come in to the country. And then in the schools, you have the kind of friction with other young illegal immigrants who aren't criminals, but they either try to make them criminals or they wind up killing them. In the state of Virginia, 12% or 1 million people are immigrants. Approximately 300,000 of those are undocumented or living in the country without legal permission, they estimate. Salvadorans make up about 10% of the immigrants in Virginia, the largest single group. And MS-13 is comprised of Salvadorans. It's not to say all Salvadoran immigrants are MS-13, but all MS-13 are pretty much Salvadorans. In late 2019, MS-13 has approximately 3,000 members. ICE arrested 4,341 gang members in 2019, 10% of whom belonged to MS-13. Their top crimes right now are dealing cocaine or marijuana in street deals or by selling small bulk loads. That's what they're doing for now. Kind of like what we saw in San Miguel. The gang goes in there and they plop down some coke on the counter to a restaurant and say, you know, this is worth $15,300. You got to have a couple of weeks to sell this. We'll be back for the money. You better have the money in a couple of weeks. And then, of course, they'll have another load for him at that point in time. He got out of town. He just abandoned his business. Probably moved to Northern Virginia, as a matter of fact. They stake out in cantinas. They deal out of there. They get free drinks and some of the profits. They just help themselves, right? Take whatever they want to eat or drink, and then take whatever they want out of the cash register. And these are immigrant communities. But see, the Democrats don't care about immigrants any more than they care about Americans, black or white. They say, this is our building right here. They say, we're going to tax you. I'm just coming to visit a friend or whatever, but you need to pay us $20. They said they've seen MS-13 involved in any crime you can think of. Larceny, stealing, home burglary, even recruiting children brought over to the U.S. to get away from gangs back home. Putting them into prostitution, getting them involved in armed robbery. You see, without a border, you're not going to stop the drug war from coming across. You're not going to stop the drug cartels. And as President Trump is calling them terrorists, as I said, I'm concerned that this whole open border thing is being used like a slow motion 9/11. Oh, we got a war on terror and we got a war on drugs. You know, both of those have been used to eviscerate, to shred the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, haven't they? But we got both of those happening at the border. And gee, we just can't figure out what to do about it. Except maybe incentivize it. Hey, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's exactly what they want. Exactly what they want. Which then takes us to gun control and Bloomberg pledging more gun control and judges if elected. Now remember, Virginia is not only now the focus of MS-13 gangs, but it is also the focus of the new Democrat government there for gun control. As Bloomberg is saying, he says, as president, here's his first issue and promise. As president, I will appoint judges who understand the Second Amendment allows for common sense limits on gun ownership. There are no limits to his limits on gun ownership. He will not be satisfied until it's full on confiscation. And quite frankly, they will go through the judges because the Constitution doesn't allow it. The population won't allow it. But if we're foolish enough to elect these people for other reasons that you agree with them, that's why I look at Tulsi Gabbard. It's like, boy, she is solid and serious when it comes to opposing these foreign wars, isn't she? But on issues like guns, on issues like abortion, on issues like the border and so forth, she is not really any better than the other Democrats, frankly. And if you vote for her or other Democrats because you agree with their position on one issue, understand they're going to bring in this entire bag of pandemonium along with them to unleash on you. Just because you agree with them with one issue, it's not enough. I mean, I disagree with President Trump on many issues. It's never a set thing, but understand it's going to be a completely different thing as we see in Virginia right now. He wants to put in universal background checks, ban assault weapons, ban high-capacity magazines, expand the no-buy list, and on a war on gun shows. There is no limit to the limits that he will put on guns because he wants a full confiscation, and he will get it. And he will use the judiciary to do it, and that's why President Trump needs to push back against judicial usurpation at the border as well. They're stopping him there as well. We'll be right back.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
You know, we talk about gun control and what Bloomberg is saying. He's promising that now he's not only, he's funded the two biggest gun control groups, Every Town for Gun Safety and Moms Demand Action. He created Every Town and operates that and is probably the biggest contributor to Moms Demand Action. And, of course, they demand confiscation is what they demand. But he says, yeah, I'm going to use the judiciary. What a surprise. And you don't have to get Bloomberg to have the out-of-control judiciary take away our freedoms. They're doing it everywhere. They claim to have jurisdiction and the ability and the power that they don't have to define everything, from life to marriage to our God-given rights that are protected by the Constitution. And a good example of that's what's happening in the Supreme Court right now. For the first time in about a decade, they've got a gun control case before them. And in 2008 and 2010, the rulings by the Supreme Court were slightly favorable to the Second Amendment. And both of these rulings, both the Heller ruling, District of Columbia versus Heller in 2008, and the McDonald versus Chicago ruling in 2010, both of those should have made it illegal for New York to do what they're doing, according to the rules that they claim to be operating under. You know, we're not operating under the Constitution, right? We're operating under, well, we've got the Constitution, and even though it's written in English, and even though we've got massive commentaries, you know, you can read it yourself, and if you have any trouble understanding it, you can get Richard Proctor's book. Goes line by line through it, explains it to you in great detail, gives you the history of it. It's not hard to understand. I mean, we don't need to have the Supreme Court interpret it for you. It's not written in a foreign language. Some of the language is a little bit archaic, but, you know, you've got dictionaries and Google, and you can look up the original meanings of these words, and you've got massive commentaries when they were arguing about what they wanted out of this. So if you want to know what the original meaning is, if you want to know what the Constitution says, it's not a problem, and you don't need a Supreme Court to translate it for you. What they're doing is they're obfuscating it. You know, we got people like Anthony Kennedy and a long list of judges who are appointed by Republican presidents. So all you people who think we've got to have a Republican in office because they will give us good Supreme Court justices, and because the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter of everything in the United States, you don't understand the Constitution. And you have accepted a premise that has been given to you that is a prescription for outright tyranny. There is no democracy. These people who are railing about the Electoral College is not the issue. It's the judicial system with power that they don't have. That's the issue in this country right now. And if you pretend that they have power that they don't have, that is fatal to our freedoms, to this republic, to the Constitution. For example, Brennan was appointed by Eisenhower, Sandra Day O'Connor, and Anthony Kennedy. Anthony Kennedy was somebody who loved to look to foreign sources of law to override the Constitution. Both of them were appointed by Ronald Reagan. David Souter, appointed by George W. Bush, or H.W. Bush, I think. Justice Roberts, who is now pushing back, trying to get this court case that's before the Supreme Court out. He was appointed by George W., put in the position of being the Chief Justice by George W. And so what is happening now is that New York, in violation of Heller, which said, no, the right to keep and bear arms means that you can actually carry the thing outside of your home. New York said, no, we're not going to allow that. Chicago was trying to do that as well. In a sense, they had a citywide gun ban. And the Supreme Court said, well, no, you know, you... Everybody who, I don't know exactly what their basis was. It probably wasn't fidelity to the Constitution. But, I mean, the reality is that all the office holders at local level have to swear to uphold the Constitution. That includes the Second Amendment. And so they're violating their oath of office. But I don't think that was the basis of their decision. But they said to Chicago, no, you can't do that. And in Washington, D.C., they said this off-duty police officer can carry his gun when he's off duty, because that's what it means to bear arms. It's B-E-A-R, not B-A-R-E. And so, but New York said, no, you're going to have a license for your gun, and that means that gun cannot leave that premise. End of story. You can't carry it anywhere. So they challenged this all the way to the Supreme Court. As it gets to the Supreme Court, New York says, oh, we threw the law out. So now we don't have to hear this anymore. And Roberts said they spent their whole time on Monday talking about whether or not they ought to just throw the case out. Roberts arguing that they should, because it's all about lies. What do we do about this? I mean, the reality is that every president for the 20th century pretty much has deferred to the Supreme Court to tell them what's in the Constitution. And they bowed to that, and they don't have to. As a matter of fact, their duty says that they do not do that. There is a separation of powers. But it's not going to happen. Trump's not going to, if you got one federal judge says you can't protect the border, he won't protect the border. He'll do whatever the Supreme Court says. He has declared his fealty to the Supreme Court and not to the Constitution. I don't know if he's even read the Constitution. And none of these presidents are loyal to the Constitution. So what's it going to take? It's going to take us doing this at the state level. We can nullify this federal usurpation of power at the state level, the 9th and 10th Amendment. They don't have any authority. And the state officials have a duty to do that because they also swore to the Constitution of the United States. We can also do it with juries. That's one of the ways that we ended alcohol prohibition. The juries refused to convict people. They said, yeah, okay, you even amended the Constitution. You did it legally, and you said, yeah, you're not going to have alcohol. I don't care. I don't care. Even if you did it, and our war on drugs is not legal. And we have the 18th and 21st Amendment that declared that alcohol was illegal and then that it was legal. There is no amendment that gives them power to prohibit marijuana or anything else for that matter. Stem cells that the FDA is now saying under President Trump that they're going to prohibit. Your own stem cells. No, you don't have the authority to do that. And we need to have the backbone as citizens to not convict people. And so we can nullify them ourselves if we're in a jury. That's the only way that this is going to happen. It's not going to happen with a presidential election. But I can tell you that if Bloomberg gets elected, it will get a lot worse much more quickly. Just like we'll talk about when we get to Pelosi saying we're still in Paris. And she's not suffering from dementia. I think she does know that she is in Spain. But she says we're still in Paris. Let's talk before we get to that a little bit about what's going on with Jeffrey Epstein. And I keep pointing out that he's just the high-profile tip of what is happening. Because we keep seeing all of these highly connected pedophile networks. I mean, we've had the Franklin situation that was exposed, high-ranking officials with the Bush administration and so forth. We had Dennis Hastert, of all people. You know, the Republicans put him in there, left him in there for a long time. Other people that he defended, other Republicans defending those other people and defending Dennis Hastert, Rush Limbaugh, for example. And this has been going on for a long time. I've talked many times about how the UN itself and its so-called peacekeeping efforts has turned into massive trafficking for child abuse, child slavery, pedophile networks, DynCorp in the military-industrial complex, people in the Pentagon. It is pervasive. And we've got another example I'm going to give you when we come back. The ex-chief advisor for, guess what, a UN children's program. Who would have thought the UN would be involved in the sexual exploitation of children? I can't believe it. Say it ain't so. I've been saying it so for a long time. So long. I'm getting tired of saying it, but I'm going to say it again. I'm going to give you this news story just to show you the pattern. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Working starts to make me wonder where fruits of what I do are growing. He says in love and war all is fair, but he's got cards he ain't showing. How much does it cost?
Well, I want to talk about in this segment, I guess we could call it, it takes a village to rape a child. You know, that was Hillary Clinton's idea. You know, you parents, you got to get over this idea that you parents own your children, as Melissa Harris Perry lectured us on the MSNBC spot, a public service announcement to you. You know, here's a public service announcement. We're announcing that parents don't have any authority, any control, any ownership over their children, because we're severing that tie of parental rights and responsibility. We will take responsibility for your children. And we, the village, the government, will raise your children. And that's an idea that comes straight from the UN. UN has been selling this UN Convention on the Rights of the Child for a very long time. And all the insanity that we're seeing happening here in the United States has been going on in other countries as well for a longer period of time, because every other country other than us has already formally adopted that UN Convention on the Rights of the Child. However, our out-of-control judiciary and bureaucracy have implemented the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and made it de facto law, even though they haven't done it formally. It is our de facto law. That is the premise under which they can have your kid have an abortion without your knowledge, against your wishes. They can now mutilate your child physically, genitally, with the transgender agenda. They can do that without your knowledge and against your wishes as a parent. They can propagandize them and turn them into little Hitler youth, the youthful idiots of the communists. They can do all that kind of stuff because you've turned your kids over to them. You've turned your kids over to the village. And they'll not only raise them, they will rape them. We'll talk a little bit about this village that the Clintons used to hang out on at the Epstein Island. But understand, this is your village we're talking about. And this is your child we're talking about. And you better protect them from these people. You know, the homeschooling association that we were involved in North Carolina, they had a very good metaphor for this. The annual report they would put out was called the Greenhouse Report. You protect your children. You protect your children when they're being raised like you would a young plant in a greenhouse. Eventually, they're going to go out in the world and they're going to have to stand on their own. And they're going to take everything that, the weather, the sun, the pestilence, anything, disease, bugs, anything. They're going to have to take that on their own eventually. But you better try to protect them while they're young and vulnerable. You don't put them out there as shock troops to evangelize the world. That doesn't work that way. Go back and look at the psychological tests that I talk about all the time. The Ash experiment, the Milgram experiment. These people understood the power of authority and peer pressure, and you better understand that as well, because it's even worse on young children than it is on adults, and it works on adults. You get about 2/3 of adults will fall for that. It's nearly unanimous when it comes to children. So we're going to talk about this, the new revelations of more elites involved with the UN, involved with the Clintons, the usual suspects, in just a moment. Before we do, real quickly, I just want to remind you of the sales that we have this Cyber Week at InfoWarsStore.com. We have not only, we've been running 50% off sales of free shipping, triple Patriot points. Now we have upped it. We've got some new sale packages, some combo packs, and some of these are now 75% off. And folks, we are begging you to consider InfoWars for a lot of your supplement needs. You look at Amazon, think about how they are coming after these tech companies like Amazon and Apple. Think about how they hate you for your freedom, how they are part of the crony capitalists. I even talked about this. I don't understand why President Trump is defending them when France is trying to tax them. It's like you want to destroy something, you tax it. Well, let's destroy these people's monopoly because they can get away without, they can avoid $100 billion in taxes over a decade. Or you got Walmart, for example, working to be compliant on gun control. Some of the sporting goods places like Dick's actually hiring a lobbyist. It's not enough that they don't want to sell guns. And they don't even want to sell them off after they decide they weren't going to sell them to the public. They destroyed them. And then they hired lobbyists, Dick's Sporting Goods. They hired lobbyists to destroy your guns and your gun rights with politicians. So think about that. Think about how Target has pushed the transgender agenda. They were at the forefront of all of this. The common dressing rooms and bathrooms and everything else at Target. Think about that. Think about how these people are allied, how they are part of the public-private partnership to not only take away your freedoms, your God-given freedoms, but also to enslave you, to impoverish you. I mean, look at how Walmart famous for many decades, partnering with China to put small mom-and-pop American companies out of business. So think about that when you shop. Think about the fact that we're doing just the opposite. We're trying to stand for your freedoms. We're trying to help you to establish your liberty and your economic freedom as well. Here's some of the items that we've got on sale. We've got a new special here that we've added. It's called the Change Your Life Trifecta Pack. It's a bottle of X3 Nascent Iodine, Brain Force Plus, and the 8-Pack Power Stack, $140 off. So this is something that is going to be very effective for you. And right now, you're going to get it at a great price. Again, free shipping, triple Patriot points, and that 8-Pack Power Stack. All those different items there, $140 off. We got Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, 67% off. As I said yesterday, I don't ever travel without taking that with me to help me when I'm exposed to infections or I get cuts, things like that. I've used that for many years. I'll be traveling next week, so I'm going to take that with me as well. Right now, you can get that 67% off. We have an AMPM 8-Pack Power Stack, 75% off. And then, of course, we've got a lot of other products that I know from friends and family have been life-changing for them. Things like Pollen Block. That's the only thing my wife has ever found that helps her with her sinus problems. 50% off. Knockout. We just talked about this a couple of weeks ago. A friend of ours, friend of my wife's husband, had a lot of problems sleeping. I mean, just couldn't get more than 3 or 4 hours of sleep at night. Took Knockout. Had 3 nights in a row, the best sleep he'd ever had. So he thought, well, maybe something else has changed. So he stopped taking Knockout. Yeah, the problem came right back. Knockout is all natural. It's 50% off. Very effective. Life-changing if you're having trouble sleeping. Brain Force Plus really helps you to focus. And we've got it not only 50% off, but we've got a free bottle of it if you get DNA Force for 50% off or Survival Shield X2 or X3 Nascent Iodine for 50% off. Both of those, you get a free bottle of Brain Force Plus. All this part of our Cyber Week specials, free shipping store-wide, up to 75% off, and triple Patriot points at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let's talk about what's going on with the UN. We got Peter Dalglish. This is a guy who is very well-connected. You see the picture of him. He's there with Justin Trudeau. And then another picture of him with a young child. He was an Order of Canada recipient. He's an ex-chief advisor for a UN children's program. He's now been convicted of sexual assault against children. He is maintaining that he's innocent. However, the police in Nepal took him from his home a couple of years ago in the district, in a district that's north of Kathmandu. The police said that 2 children, aged 12 and 14 years old, were rescued from the home. Now, the royal apologist for Randy Andy, you know, Prince Andrew, remember she was showing on television, said, well, you know, let's understand that young girl, Virginia, whatever, Guthrie, she said she was 14 years old at the time. So that's not pedophilia. No, it is. It is. It is. People in Nepal understand that. They were rescued from his home, a 12 and a 14-year-old rescued from his home. The children were lured with the promise of education, work, and foreign travel before they were sexually abused by Dalglish, according to the police. The deputy superintendent of the Nepal police said, we made several surveillances for several days, and it is the outcome of our dedication. We spent a lot of time to bring Peter Dalglish into the frame of justice. We firmly believe he'll be convicted because he committed the crime, and he was convicted. He was convicted. Associated Press, however, pointed out, and of course, we've done this for many, many years. New American has done it for many, many years, talking about the UN and its peacekeepers and other employees. And I'll have more information about that and the updates on Epstein, as well as more pedophile connections to Hillary Clinton outside of Epstein.
Analyzing the globalists' next move, it's the David Knight Show.
An Associated Press investigation into the UN revealed that over the past 12 years, there have been approximately 2,000 allegations of sexual abuse and exploitation by UN peacekeepers. and other employees around the world. Over 300 of these cases involved children. I remember it was, about a year or two ago? One of the guys who blew the whistle on this, they came after him, they fired him, they prosecuted him, of course. They let the peacekeepers go. This is the way it always works. You blow the whistle on torture at the CIA, like John Kiriakou did, you go to jail. The psychiatrist who got paid millions of dollars to train the CIA how to do torture, they keep it. Even in a civil lawsuit, that gets shut down over technicalities. And then, of course, the woman who destroyed the videotapes of what they did, who presented the confessions about weapons of mass destruction that were products of that torture, presented that and used that as justification to invade and start the Iraq War, second one. She gets promoted to the head of the CIA. That's the way these things operate. An ex-Nebraska policewoman, Catherine Bolkovac, who served as a UN peacekeeper. She worked under DynCorp, a military contractor. She learned about elite-level sex trafficking involving the UN, the State Department, and the military. She's been working on this. We've had Dr. Rainier Kurtz published a paper in European Psychiatry entitled The Cremation of Care Ritual. Where did that come from? Oh, that was Bohemian Grove, right? It was Alex Jones, one of the first things he did. Broke into there, got a videotape of that, smuggled it out. The cremation of care ritual. Burning of effigies or human sacrifice murder. What is it a picture of? And he wrote in that paper, in the wake of institutional abuse inquiries and the unbelievable child abuse perpetrated by celebrities like Jimmy Savile and Ian Watkins, a new reality is setting in that child abuse is pervasive. And it knows no limits. Understand, this is not a problem with Jimmy Savile, or Savile, that's the way they pronounce it in the UK. It's not a problem with Jeffrey Epstein alone. It's not a problem with Dennis Hastert. I mean, how many times do we have to have somebody that's in a position of power? Or, you know, the Westminster scandals in the UK. You know, you got Heath and Wilson and so involved in all of that. How many times does that have to be revealed before we start to realize that it's kind of a club, kind of like the Bohemian Grove? And it's kind of like virtually the exception would be somebody who's not involved in this stuff, that's in a position of political power in Washington or London or somewhere else. They would be the exception to this. You know, people like Jimmy Savile and Jeffrey Epstein, they're not the exception. They're the rule. And the people who are involved in this are our rulers. He says reports of elaborate rituals with mock human sacrifices, and he puts mock in air quotes, as if he, well, I'm not sure, you know, about this in all cases. With mock human sacrifices at the highly secretive annual Bohemian Grove Summer Festival point toward a pervasive interest in the occult with high society. Mental health professionals have a duty of care toward their service users. Unless clear and irrefutable counter evidence is available, it is appropriate to claim that disclosures of extreme abuse and human sacrifice rituals are delusions that are indicative of schizophrenia. In other words, what he's saying is, in the past, these have always been treated as exceptions, or the accusations have been dismissed as delusional or schizophrenic or whatever. It's just the imagination of somebody. We have to understand, however, there's been so much of this at this point, that the real delusion, the real schizophrenia, is to deny that this is the fundamental orientation of these people. We just exposed at InfoWars the story about the ritual abuse by Bill Clinton on a yacht, as some person alleged went on tape anonymously. And, of course, the reporter that was working with him got killed.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. As we talk about Jeffrey Epstein, I think the real issue for people, is to understand that that is the default orientation, as I was just saying. It was a paper by a psychiatrist, Dr. Rainier Kurtz, in European Psychiatry, talking about how we need to understand that these accusations of child abuse, pedophile sexual abuse, of human sacrifice rituals, of satanic rituals, they're not the exception. They're not delusions. They're not indicative of schizophrenia. They're indicative of how sick the ruling elite are. It's just a couple of weeks ago that we had the we played excerpts of the videotaped testimony of a man who said as a child he suffered rape on a yacht. He said Bill Clinton was present. There were elements of satanic ritual involved in that. I'm not going to go into it. It's disgusting. We talked about it some on this program. But you can find that at InfoWars. It's still there. And of course, it was about a year and a half ago as they were trying to get somebody in Washington to do something about it. The reporter who was escorting him around and taking this to the Department of Justice and the FBI to try to get them to do something about it. She just suddenly, you know, had a seizure and died in her hotel room right after as she was working on that. And so he didn't want to talk about it. He didn't put it out there. And then it resurfaced again about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. We talked about that. And so when we look at what's going on with the Epstein Village, you know, we have new reports about Bill Clinton at the Zorro Ranch in New Mexico and how he was a frequent attendee there with his wife, Hillary. They had a cowboy-themed village as a part of that. You know, I guess, you know, it takes a village to rape a child, doesn't it? And as I said, you can look at this and you can look at how disgusting these people are, but these are the people who took over the educational establishment. They nationalized the curriculum. They nationalized the deliberate dumbing down of our children with the Department of Education. And they've been abusing all of America's children. The only issue is the degree to which they do it. And they don't have to have direct contact to abuse your child in your village. But in this particular village, this is a cowboy-themed village. I don't know, maybe they did the Clintons dress up as like the village people? I don't know. But they would never stay at the main house. They always went to the cowboy-themed village. And when they were there in attendance, they would fly the American flag in their honor, you know. Isn't that great? Isn't that nice to know that America is associated with people like that? They would, and that was also the Zorro Village, has also been named Epstein's baby-making ranch, where he wanted to impregnate a lot of young girls to propagate his genes, let's say. A traditional Wild West-style building at an old schoolhouse. How appropriate. How appropriate, yeah. And a saloon bar, an American flag raised above the village whenever he would arrive on the private planes with Jeffrey Epstein, along with Hillary. Even Chelsea would visit the ranch. And they did it almost every year after they left the White House, as a matter of fact. When we look at other connections that are surfacing, of course, with the Clintons, we have, as True Pundit is reporting, George Nader, a convicted pedophile that special counsel Robert Mueller used in the Russian investigation, right? Oh, yeah, this is the Russiagate. Well, let's get a pedophile in there. We got some stuff on him, right? Let's get Dennis Hastert in there. We know he's a pedophile. We can control him. It's just all that way. What a surprise that it comes out that at this ranch and in New York, the penthouse and everything, all the rooms are filled with cameras because now everybody is saying what we've been saying all along. This whole thing was a blackmail operation being run by Israeli intelligence. It's pretty obvious now. So obvious that even the mainstream media is talking about it. But don't worry, they tell you, it's just an aberration. This isn't indicative of the way our Republicans and Democrats operate on a regular basis. Not at all. Not at all. George Nader, a convicted pedophile, used by Robert Mueller to try to take Trump out of office and overthrow our election, was indicted yesterday for allegedly concealing millions of dollars in illegal campaign contributions to, wait for it, not President Trump, but Hillary Clinton. What a surprise. The Justice Department refers only to an unidentified 2016 presidential candidate, but campaign finance records make it clear that that candidate was Clinton, reports Politico. Politico, left-wing Democrat Politico. According to the indictment, this is the statement from the Department of Justice. According to the indictment, from March 2016 through January of 2017, Quaja, one of the other individuals, conspired with Nader, this convicted pedophile, to conceal the source of more than $3.5 million in campaign contributions. Nader was funneling them through Quaja. They directed it to political committees associated with a candidate for president of the United States in the 2016 election. That's the way the Department of Justice puts it, because the Department of Justice is still filled with Hillary lovers, Democrat holdovers from the Obama campaign administration. These contributions appear to be in the name of Quaja, his wife, and his company, but in reality, they were allegedly funded by Nader. The indictment noted that political committees that received funding unwittingly, and they were victims of the plot. See, that's Mueller saying that, and that's the Washington Post saying that. Oh, Hillary was a victim. She was deceived. No, you know, there's nothing to look at. You know, it's Hillary Clinton. She cannot commit a crime. Still, Clinton apparently attended numerous events, including small gatherings with Nader, the pedophile, convicted pedophile, who on July 19th, 2016, messaged the foreign official a photograph of him with the candidates, with candidate one's spouse. Candidate one, that would be Hillary Clinton, and her spouse would be Bill Clinton. Yeah, that's how they protect them. They're remaining anonymous, you know, like Eric CIA Ramella, Chiramella, the name that will not be used by anybody. And then we have more pictures of Andrew with Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, this time at the Ascot, the Royal Ascot. And they're dressed in their top hats and everything else just to, you know, just to make it look great. We've got five more victims claiming that Prince Andrew saw Epstein abuse them as children. See, the thing is, going back to the 1980s, you had British satire programs. I think it was the one with puppets. They were really pretty funny, very unusual puppet things. I think it's called Splitting Image or something like that. But they did a whole, whole expose. They would always refer to Prince Andrew as Randy Andy in those, and they portrayed him as notorious womanizer who was not discriminating whatsoever about who he betted. Jeffrey Epstein's private banker, of course, at Deutsche and Citibank, was found swinging from a rope. They immediately ruled it as, wait for it, a suicide. Of course it was a suicide. No other way than a suicide. You know, it's, I don't know. It's just amazing, isn't it, that this is still happening? But again, don't get caught up in thinking that this is some kind of an aberration. Don't get caught up with thinking that this is something that only the Clintons do. Yes, they are knee deep in this. But this is something that extends to Republican establishment. Dennis Hastert will point out. You know, the only difference is that the Republicans, some of them, get punished. But, you know, Dennis Hastert, they didn't need to send him to jail for a non-crime. They sent him to jail to show people that he was getting punished for being a pedophile. They even said it in the trial. He was sent to jail, however, for taking his own money out of the bank. They could have removed the statute of limitations and prosecuted him for being a pedophile, but then that would have exposed all the rest of them to the same kind of prosecutions.
Is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh.
Yes, we have Nancy Pelosi. And she is now in Paris. Not in Paris, she's in Spain, but she is still thinking of Paris. She kind of talked to the UN people, the crony climatists there. And she had something to say that sounded kind of similar to what Humphrey Bogart said in Casablanca. Remember that when he said this? Let's run that.
We'll always have Paris. We didn't have. We lost it until you came to Casablanca. We got it back last night.
How appropriate. We'll always have Paris. And it doesn't matter who's in Casablanca, the White House, right? you know, the little bit of trivia there. Ronald Reagan was in the running for that role instead of Humphrey Bogart. Yeah, I know it's hard to imagine, isn't it? But Humphrey Bogart got Casablanca and Ronald Reagan got the actual White House. But Nancy Pelosi is acting as if she is in the White House. She is telling the people there, we are still in the Paris Climate Accord. And, of course, this is in Madrid, the climate, the 25th time that the UN has tried to realter all of our societies and create a world government on the basis of climate alarmism. And this is what she had to say at the climate conference that is now in Madrid, Spain. It was going to be in Chile, but we'll talk about that in just a second. Here's what she had to say in Spain.
It is pretty exciting for us to be here. So for some, it is the first COP meeting. For me, my first one was Earth Summit in 1992 in Rio, Brazil. And we had certain goals then. Clearly, we have not met them. We will meet the goals of this COP.
You know, we didn't meet the goals that were going to
destroy the planet. It's a privilege to lead this very distinguished congressional delegation from the House and the Senate to continue this crucial conversation. By coming here, we want to say to everyone, we're still in. The United States is still in.
We're still in. We're still in Paris. And she's not suffering from dementia, you know, saying that in Madrid. She's saying that we're still in the Paris Climate Accord. And she also said, we aren't here to talk about impeachment of the President of the United States. In other words, they're trying to pivot away from this disastrous Adam Schiff hearing that is blown up in their face. And so she's trying to pivot onto something that is going to be a little bit more popular, try to appear to be doing something, even though, as she points out, you know, we came up with these resolutions, you know, decades ago when I was just a lass and nothing was done. But it's no problem because it was all an imaginary problem anyway. The world hasn't melted down. We're not starving. We're not freezing to death. We're not burning up. The ice caps are not melting. We do have a lot of CO2 that just illustrates that their climate models are total bunk. Trump said complying with the accord would hurt the U.S. economy. He's absolutely right. Restricting domestic producers, while other big polluters such as China will be allowed to increase emissions. And that's exactly what's going on. You have to understand, this whole Paris Climate Accord that was self-ratified by John Kerry and Barack Obama, completely ignoring the Constitution. You know, that's the thing. They don't have dementia. This is blatantly ignoring the Constitution. All it was just a transfer of wealth and manufacturing from the United States and Europe to China and India, because China and India were going to be allowed to continue to increase emissions without any restriction. As I point out, China is adding a new coal plant every week. Now, this is something that ought to really freak out anybody who believes all this climate alarmism. They should be totally freaked out, because it's not just that they're adding a coal plant, but they're adding coal plants without any scrubbers or any kind of pollution control. You know, you can burn coal very cleanly, but it costs a little bit more money to do that. And they're not bothering to clean it up whatsoever. You know, we just had the EPA blackmail and twist the arm of Volkswagen, and it worked. You know, they put billions of dollars of fines on them. They arrested an executive when he went to Orlando to take his family to Disney World, and it worked. They intimidated them. They bullied them just like the cartels are doing to businesses in Mexico, right? Or like MS-13 is doing to small shop owners in Virginia now. See, government, it's just the scale of the operation. The protection racket is the same, whether you're talking about a two-bit punk in New York or a drug cartel or the U.S. government. It operates the same. Government is a protection racket. And they operate just like these drug cartels. And so, you know, they threatened to put Volkswagen out of business. Now Volkswagen's become perhaps even a bigger cheerleader of electric vehicles than even Elon Musk. But they might freak out over the fact that somebody cheated on their emission tests. But they don't care that China is building entire factories, one a week. A coal plant, one a week, and they don't have any pollution controls on those. You want to say this is global warming? Then why aren't you worried about the pollution being generated by India and China, as I've shown many times? You've got air that is so dense they can't see anything. They've got oxygen bars that are opening up in India. You got people in China importing canned air from Switzerland. I mean, they really do have a pollution problem there because they don't put any kind of process on there to clean it up. And the people who put this Paris Climate Accord together don't have a problem with that. They can continue to build as many and as dirty a power plants as they want for decades, but we're the ones who have to cut back. And when we look at Reuters, the way they're putting this back, U.S. rallied support for the Paris Agreement under Obama. Democrats want to reassure the rest of the world that they will once again throw their country's weight behind the deal if they regain power at the elections in 2020. And so I'm asking, is Nancy Pelosi and these other people, are they soliciting support from foreign powers at this Paris, not this Paris thing, it's the Madrid conference, but by saying that they're still in the Paris Accord and we're going to get back into it in a big way if you elect us, are they soliciting support from foreign governments, from foreign operators? Are they trying to entice them to interfere in our elections? You know, we had Fusion GPS say that Christopher Steele hired them first to get dirt on Manafort. You know, that's the way these guys operate, the way the DNC operates. So campaigners are pushing lawmakers and Democrat presidential candidates to pursue a sweeping Green New Deal that will join climate action with social justice. Yeah, the environmentalism is just a beard. It's a beard for their Marxist policies and their centralized control of not only our economy, but creating a world government. And it's just an excuse. Just an excuse. And she says, we're still in it. We're still in it. We don't care. You know, Trump, we're not going to recognize him as president. Constitution, we don't recognize that as any authority. We can self-ratify a treaty. And even if this president, with his executive order, says we're going to shut it down, we're not going to pay any attention to that. And you need to give us some money so we can get elected. That's what Pelosi's doing.
You are listening to The David Knight Show.
Yeah, they want to not only change the world, they want to rule the world. And the way you do that is to create a worldwide problem, even if one doesn't exist. You create a crisis, then you use that crisis. And that brings us to Nancy Pelosi, who has gone to Madrid and says, we're still in Paris. That said, she's not suffering from dementia, even though she appears to be. Now, she's suffering from a blatant arrogance over the Constitution. Yeah, we'll always have Paris, darling. Yes, the COP25 summit opened this week, the beginning of this week. And, of course, it was a month ago, as Huffington Post points out, that President Trump kicked off the formal process of withdrawing from the Paris Climate Accord. Now, this is a treaty that, of course, Barack Obama knew that he and John Kerry could not get the Republican-controlled Senate to sign on to. And the reason for that is because it doesn't have anything to do with the environment. We have environmentalists who said this is a fraud that's being perpetrated on people. This is nothing other than moving the shell game, moving around manufacturing and production to different countries, you know, from the U.S. and Europe to China and to India. It's nothing to do with, you know, even the people who believed that there was some kind of a global climate crisis says, well, this doesn't solve it because it allows them to pollute without any kind of controls. What it does is it's just an economic and political game, shell game, that's being involved here. Nevertheless, Huffington Post is still portraying us as the biggest polluter. That is an outright fabrication and lie by the Huffington Post. And I've pointed that out many times. No White House officials are going to be attending the summit, but Nancy Pelosi says we're still in. We never were in, Nancy. We never were in. Obama and John Kerry couldn't put us in. It had to be the Senate, and they decided that they weren't going to do that. So they came up with that beard. Now, last month, when Trump made official his decision, and again, it was something that took him 6 months to announce that we're not going to be in that. And at first, he had people like Rex Tillerson, oil company executive, and understand the oil companies now want to, and they've already made the transition to these other forms of energy. They're in on the ground floor in these other forms of energy that they want to have us just throw away everything that we've got and buy all new stuff from them. Planned obsolescence, except it isn't going to produce what we currently have. It's not like we're upgrading our shiny iPhone for another shiny iPhone. It's going to have a lot less features. You're not going to be able to do. They're going to completely shut down your entire lifestyle. But Rex Tillerson was telling the president, no, you want to stay in it. Ivanka Trump was telling him that. Fortunately, President Trump listened to the rational people. It took him 6 months, but he eventually said, no, we're going to get out of the Paris Climate Accord. And these people were stressing to him that he has to do it formally, because, you see, Nancy Pelosi says we're still in. And so President Trump is going to do it formally. I don't know why this is a year-long process to withdraw from something that we were never legally or formally a part of. I don't know why that takes a year. But what Politico is reporting is that this is a year-long process for a formal withdrawal, and it will be completed the day after the 2020 elections. And so this is an election issue that the Democrats think is going to be very popular with them because they've spent so many decades propagandizing children through their propaganda institution that they call schools. The U.S. Congress is saying that they're going to act on a climate crisis despite President Trump, reports The Guardian. And The Guardian, you know, 100% behind all this, has an amazing quote from Lois Young. She is Belize's permanent representative to the UN and the chair of the Alliance of Small Island Developing States. Well, I don't know what they're developing, quite frankly. Does Belize produce anything? Is that Banana Republic, that corrupt Banana Republic? I remember McAfee. I went to Belize and it was corrupt, and he gave them computers and then used it to spy on the police. But anyway, we are outraged, said Belize's permanent representative to the UN. We are outraged, by the dithering and the retreat of one of the most culpable polluters from the Paris Agreement. In the midst of a climate emergency, retreat and inaction are tantamount to sanctioning ecocide. Ecocide, well, I can't get any more blistering in your histrionics than that, Lois. They reflect profound failure to honor collective global commitment to protect the most vulnerable. See, women and minorities hurt the hardest. The world is melting down, says Lois Young from Belize. And again, look at those words that she chooses very carefully. Collective global governance. That's what we're talking about here. We're not talking about saving the environment. We're talking about collective global governance. And so this corrupt little banana republic that doesn't make anything, they don't produce anything. Instead, they sit on the beach and they eat produce. They eat their bananas at the Banana Republic of Belize. You can call them beach bums because they sit on their bums on the beach, right? That's the way this is working. And You look at Climate Change Dispatch, for example. They say, you ever notice that they don't have these climate conferences in places like Somalia or Bangladesh or someplace like that? You know, the places that they want us to look like if we follow these policies, that's what we'll look like. I mean, they ought to go there, in all honesty. You know, they ought to go there, or they ought to go to Venezuela or something like that and say, we came here because we want to show you how wonderful the world is going to be. No, no, no. As Climate Change Dispatch pointed out, they go to the places like Copenhagen and Madrid, where they can stay in five-star hotels, where they can fly in with their private jets, right? And lecture us about how if we don't give up everything to them, we'll all be dead in 12 years. You know, they had to pull out of the conference in Chile. Why did they have to pull out? They were going to have it in Santiago, Chile. And there are massive demonstrations in Santiago, Chile. Why are there demonstrations and riots and burnings of buses and so forth in Chile? Because of massive austerity programs there. You know, the people who no longer can afford private cars and are forced to ride buses and subways now can't afford to ride the buses and subways because they raised the fares on the buses and subways. And so they're burning them down in protest. See, that's the future that they want for us. That's the future that we will have with the UN 2030 agenda for smart cities. You will lose your ability to own private transportation. And you'll be forced to ride their government transportation or rent from their technocratic crony climatists like Elon Musk and these other people who will rent you by the ride a vehicle that they own. And that's one of the reasons why they're not doing it in Chile. Isn't that amazing? I think they should have done it there. Or they should have gone to a third world country like Somalia or Bangladesh. Now, the tack that they took on this one, they said Pelosi picks climate alarmism over USMCA jobs. And I thought that was an interesting headline because both the Paris Accord and the USMCA have, which is also just NAFTA Part 2, they have something in common. I don't support Trump's USMCA because, like the Paris Accord, Trump's USMCA destroys American sovereignty. Both of them. Both of them destroy our sovereignty. The difference, however, and here's the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats want to do it immediately, and they want us in a Stone Age austerity. Trump, on the other hand, with USMCA, he's going to give us a short-term sugar fix. You know, he's going to do a better deal for some of the farmers and a better deal over here and everything. But in the long term, this destruction of sovereignty that's part of the USMCA is basically we're going to get, first of all, the people who get subsidized are going to get like diabetes, but the rest of us are going to get cancer when we kill the country with this loss of sovereignty. But that's the difference between Democrats. Back, I've got a good example of what the Democrats are doing in California. I'm going to talk about this. California is actually going to sacrifice pensions and road funds to try to do something of, and the goals on this are just nebulous. We want to do something about climate change, says Governor Newsom. And this is reported by the SACB, Sacramento Bee. I mean, this is not a conservative analysis of this. They're looking at this, and the other California officials are looking at this and saying, wait a minute, you know, we got pension funds that are underwater, and you're going to, you know, take money from them and have them make questionable investments and so forth, and you're going to rob the construction funds for roads, and you're going to put it into some kind of climate change support. That's why I call it crony climatism. And so I'll give you an example of that. And I'll tell you how to discuss climate change with a woke teenager. I hate that term, actually. They're not awake. They've been put to sleep. They've been given the blue pill. They're not woke, but, you know, that's the term that people use, so we'll go with that. That's coming up. But before we do, real quickly, I just want to remind you of some of the specials we got as part of our Cyber Week. Not only do we have free shipping and triple Patriot points now, something we've never done before, triple Patriot points, 15% discounts off of future purchases. But we also have up to 75% off. We've added some new discount packs and so forth. But just think about the fact we've got a lot of products at InfoWarsStore.com that are packaged goods if you want to hand somebody something. But think about giving somebody a supplement that is going to be, let's say, the gift of sleep. How about that? Do you have an older relative that is having a lot of difficulty sleeping? You know, because your melatonin production goes down dramatically as you age. And it's not just older people. I mean, it starts declining after you get out of childhood. You know, the old expression, sleep like a baby. Well, babies produce a lot of melatonin. But we don't typically. And even if we are still fairly young and still producing a lot of melatonin, we disrupt our natural rhythms with the blue light of the phones and things like that that we use. So a lot of people, even at a very, very young age, are having sleep difficulty. And that manifests itself in a lot of different ways. I mean, it can be health issues, but also mood issues. Somebody grumpy, it might be they're not getting enough sleep. And so one of the best things that you could do would be to give the gift of sleep this Christmas, wouldn't it? Just think, if that person that you know that can only get a couple of hours of sleep at night, imagine if they had a great night's rest and they had, visions of sugar plum fairies dancing through their head. You think that might affect their mood? I think it might. It might be a nice thing. And you could do that naturally. You know, it's very well known that melatonin, as a supplement, because your body reduces your production of melatonin. But it can even be used to reset your biological clock when you travel. That's something I've known for decades and used for decades. If I would go to a different time zone, if I'd travel from here to Europe, for example, I'd use melatonin to reset my body clock. But I've used melatonin in the past. And even though that's one of the components in Knockout, our all-natural sleep aid, it is not the primary component. There's a lot of other things that are there, and it's a lot more effective and restful than just taking melatonin by itself. So take a look at Knockout, for example, 50% off. We also have Brain Force Plus, 50% off. That'll help you to focus, help you to recall. We also offer Brain Force for free if you buy a pack, either with Survival Shield X2 or X3 Nascent Iodine. You get those for 50% off, and you get a free bottle of Brain Force Plus. DNA Force, you get that 50% off. You also get a free bottle of Brain Force Plus. We want you to try that because we know that if you try Brain Force Plus, you're going to love it. It's really going to help you to focus. Many other products you'll find there, up to 75% off. We have the AM PM 8-Pack Power Stack, 75% off. Big discounts, new specials, the Change Your Life Trifecta Pack. That's a X3 Nascent Iodine bottle, Brain Force Plus, and the 8-Pack Power Stack. That's $140 off. Take a look at the specials we have at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping, up to 75% off, and triple Patriot points for discounts in the future. InfoWarsStore.com. All right, I was talking about what's going on in California. A good example of the Democrats trying to turn people into a Stone Age austerity part. And as Gavin Newsom, the new governor, well, actually, he's been there a couple of years now, is quoted by the SACB as saying, it's part of the state's DNA. So is he talking about robbing pension funds and road building programs? Now, that is part of the state's DNA. No, actually, he's talking about the risk of wildfire. That truly is a part of California's DNA. They've always had that. It's part of the DNA of Florida, for example, to have hurricanes, just like the Midwest has tornadoes. But now they're telling us all that's due to climate change. The seasons are due to climate change. Any variation in the weather, due to climate change. If it gets colder or hotter, it's due to climate change. And so he's saying, as he was going to one of these other international climate forums 2 months ago, you know, it's a nice little junket for these people. 2 months ago, he put out an executive order to focus the state's spending on global warming. He directed the state's transportation agency and the pension funds and the department that manages government contracts to reconsider how they spend public money. He wants them to prepare for climate change. Yes, you're going to fund the people that are creating new businesses that are friends of his. You know, like Solyndra or Tesla or these other boondoggles that are out there. His order happened to follow Caltrans, California Transportation. Caltrans released a report describing decisions to adjust funding for highway projects that had been pledged to the Central Valley. The timing created the impression that his administration was tinkering with a taxpayer-approved transportation plan. He said, oh, no, it's not that. It's just that we want to reduce the number of vehicle miles traveled, and so we want to tax cars in order to do that. The executive order could lead the California agency to adjust its plans for other funding, steering money to public transportation. So that's it. Because they admit it. They're going to tax the cars and give the money to the people, you know, so they can build buses or light rail or subways or whatever they want to do. Because they want to end private transportation. They don't want to build more lanes, as I was saying. I heard it on the radio coming out of San Antonio. We're not building more lanes, said the Texas Department of Transportation. We've got to get people out of the cars. That's what our stakeholders are telling us. And the stakeholders are also saying, you need to get a stake in our company. You need to invest in our company. And that's what they're doing with the public pension funds as well. Even though California's three state public pension systems are among the biggest in the world and suffering from, wait for it, money to pay off the pensions, they make these promises to people that they can't keep. I mean, just like you see the unfunded pension programs in Illinois and the state of New York, California is there with a deeply underwater pension funding problem. And so what they're doing is they're telling them, we want you to get your money out of any of these companies that are established and making money, and we want you to start investing it into some of these companies, you know, like Solyndra or, you know, Tesla. And they're not saying to go short on Tesla, like I was saying yesterday. You know, you got Tesla has got 9 products that they sell, but they only make 3 of them. And some of those other 6 products that they've been taking money for, in many cases, 2 or 3 years, they're still not making those. And the 3 products that they are making and putting out there, they have seen their sales on those plummet by 50%. But that would be the kind of company that Gavin Newsom is directing them to. As a matter of fact, they specifically mention electric vehicles. They are a solution and a player in the market. And he's not saying short Tesla. He's not telling them to operate like a hedge fund. Quite frankly, they do operate like a hedge fund. I mean, these people don't know how to manage anything. And then they are going to, start not only buying more electric cars, they say. And that could be good because, you know, we could have officious government officials who are actually grounded because they can't get anywhere because it takes them 8 hours or more to charge their car. Maybe that would spare us a little bit of harassment. But no, they're actually going to start to try to punish the various car manufacturers, and that's the majority of them, who have sided with President Trump, saying the federal government and the president should set the standards, and we don't want to go with these standards that have been set by the state of California because that'll make all cars unaffordable. And so California says, well, you know, Ford likes it, and Honda and BMW and Volkswagen, who've been bludgeoned by these people. So we'll only buy cars from them.
Defending the American dream. It's the David Knight Show.
All right, let's talk about how you discuss climate change with a woke teenager. This is a story not only about climate change, not only about science and economics, but really ultimately about education. Who is going to teach your kid, and what are they teaching them? This is a story from Zero Hedge. They say, after our daughter of 15 years of age was moved to tears by the TV speech she saw of Greta Thunberg at the UN the other day. She became angry with our generation, with her parents, quote, who had been doing nothing for 30 years. And so I say, doing nothing. Maybe you were doing nothing. I got to ask, who educated your child? Who'd you turn your kid over to? What kind of garbage were they putting in their head that they would listen to somebody like Greta Thunberg? So they've already been prepared to believe this. They've already been propagandized to be youthful, useful idiots. You know, what I call the Hitler youth. Just call them that. I mean, they're both, they have the authoritarian qualities of both the communists as well as the national socialists. They said, so they decided to help her and to re-educate her. And they came up with a program of practical education, sending her to the School of Experience. They said, we're now committed to giving our daughter a future again. We're going to do our part to help cool the planet 4 degrees. From now on, she will go to school on a bicycle. Of course, it'll be winter soon, and she'll want to go by on bus. But cycling through the freezing will build resilience. We've also disconnected the heating vent in her room. Because, you know, even though the temperature is now dropping to 12 degrees in the evening and will drop below freezing in the winter, we've promised to buy her an extra sweater. From now on, she will only take cold showers. Speaking of clothes, the ones that she currently has are all synthetic. So, and they're made from petroleum, in other words. So therefore, on Monday, we will bring all her designer clothing to the secondhand shop and give it away. And we found an eco store where the only clothing that they sell is made from undyed, unbleached linen and jute. It shouldn't matter whether it looks good on her or not. Or that she'll be laughed at, you know, by the other kids who are also saving the planet by buying synthetic petroleum-based clothes. Or whether she's dressing in colorless, bland clothes and wearing a wireless bra. None of that is going to matter, because that's just the price you have to pay to save the climate. Cotton is also out of question, as it comes from distant places, and there's also pesticides used in it. You know, so there's transportation issues in getting that to market and manufacturing it. At 7 p.m., we will turn off the Wi-Fi, and we will only switch it on again the next day after dinner for 2 hours. That way, we will save on electricity. She will no longer be participating in winter sports, to ski lodges, and to resorts. Nor will she be going on any vacations with us, because, you know, vacation destinations are practically inaccessible by bicycle. Since our daughter fully agrees with the girl on TV, Greta, that CO2 emissions and footprints of her parents, her grandparents, and her great-grandparents are killing our planet, we'll let her live like her great-great-grandparents, who never had a holiday, who never had a car, who, as a matter of fact, never even had a bicycle. Zero CO2 footprint means no meat, no fish, no poultry, but it also means no meat substitutes that are based on soy, because those all have to be transported from distant locations to processing plants. They have to be packaged. They have to be canned and trucked again. Absolutely no chocolate from Africa. Again, transportation issues. Only homegrown potatoes, vegetables, and fruit that have been grown in local cold soil. Because, you know, greenhouses also run on boilers, and they have piped in CO2 and artificial light. Yeah. You're going to get it real good and hard. Let's just make sure that these kids don't do that to all of us. All of us. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. I was just talking about the article on Sierra Head saying we've decided we have a new way, and here's how you ought to discuss climate change with your woke teenager who identifies with Greta Thunberg. Yeah, you tell them you're not going to have any heat in your room, you're not going to have any Wi-Fi, you're going to have to go to school on a bicycle even during the winter, you know, because that's what these people want. Hey, take a vacation? No, no, no. We can't do a vacation because we can't bicycle that far, or we don't have enough time to take a sailboat. You know, we can't take a month off just to get there one way. So that's gone in terms of what you eat. No meat, no fish, no poultry. No meat substitutes that are based on soy because, you know, transportation to get that stuff to markets and manufacture. So you're going to have to grow everything in your backyard, plant potatoes, vegetables, fruits. Can't even use a greenhouse because that uses boilers. They produce CO2. They also use artificial light. Bread is still possible, but butter, milk, cheese, yogurt, all that stuff, that comes from cows. And they emit CO2. No ice cream, therefore. And no soft drinks because they also have CO2 gas in them, right? Nothing that is made out of plastic because that all comes from petroleum. And it's a pollution problem, we're told. Yeah, but for the Chinese, it is. They're the ones who are putting it in the ocean. Everything that's made of steel and aluminum has to also be removed. Have you ever seen the amount of energy that a blast furnace consumes or an aluminum smelter? That's bad. That's bad. Can't have any of that. We have to replace her memory foam pillow top mattress with a jute bag filled with straw and a horsehair pillow. Yeah. I mean, we're going to live a monastic life. Growing our own vegetables, wearing a hair shirt and a hair pillow. Finally, she'll no longer be using makeup, soap, shampoo, cream, lotion, conditioner, toothpaste, or medication. All face washers will be linen. She can wash by hand with her wooden washboard, just like her female ancestors did before climate change made her angry at us for destroying her future. And this way we'll help her to do her part to prevent mass extinction, water levels rising, and the disappearance of entire ecosystems. And she truly believes she wants to walk the talk of Greta. She will gladly accept and happily embrace her new way of life. Yeah. That's one way that you undo the propaganda and the miseducation and the lies that they tell you when you send your kids to the government schools. So the government schools are never about educating our kids. They're about propagandizing them and turning them into useful idiots. And that's what we've gotten for the most part. The article we have up at InfoWars from Michael Snyder, How Dumb Have We Become? Chinese students are four grade levels ahead of U.S. students in math. It's always been about that. Why can't Johnny read? Well, they don't want Johnny to read. They don't want Johnny to think. They don't teach critical thinking. They don't want the kids to have the tools of learning so they can liberate themselves. No, they want to tell them, this is what you believe. You know, it's not the lighting of a fire, but it's the filling of a bucket. And they're filling the bucket with a bunch of excrement, as Charlotte Iserby and Phyllis Schlafly wrote. When they went to, you know, Charlotte Iserby went to Washington when Ronald Reagan got elected. She went to help shut down the Department of Education. Instead, Ronald Reagan built it up. It had just been created by Jimmy Carter. It wasn't even 4 years old. But for the next 8 years, they kept pouring money into it. And as she saw that Reagan wasn't going to follow through on his promise to get rid of the Department of Education, something for which there is no constitutional authority whatsoever, the federal government should not have any involvement in education. None whatsoever. That's not just a pragmatic perspective. It's a constitutional legal perspective. They have no authority to be involved in one way or the other about education. But they bribe people with money that they print out of thin air. And that's how they get their hooks into everybody. But, you know, when I look at this and I say, well, you know, it's bad. Our kids are not learning anything that could be useful to them. But I'm not surprised. I talk about R.L. Dabney at the end of the Civil War, blaming the Civil War in many ways on the government schools in the Northeast, and how they propagandized people with a particular perspective. And he said, look, the whole idea of secular education, we're the only idiots. And, of course, that idea has spread around. You know, Germans and others were doing it at the same time. But it wasn't until the 19th century that people ever thought that you could have something called a secular education. There's no such thing. It's just a question of whose values you're going to teach. And does an education mean that you're going to teach somebody how to use tools? You know, math is a tool. You know, teaching somebody math, that's like teaching them how to use, you know, I don't know, a power saw or something like that. It can be very useful. But, you know, my grandparents didn't know calculus. I learned calculus. I learned linear algebra, a bunch of stuff. I had a math minor as an engineer. But I don't use any of that. I haven't used any of that stuff for 40, 50 years or however long it's been since I've, I don't even remember how long it's been since I've been out of school. But, you know, even as an engineer, most of the stuff that they gave us, we didn't use. I had an engineer that I worked with while I was in school. He said, yeah, I love the engineering curriculum. Unfortunately, I don't ever use any of this stuff after I get out. And it was true. It was true. My grandparents didn't know calculus. They didn't know linear algebra. But you know what they knew? They knew human nature. And they knew freedom. And they valued that. And that's a much more important thing. That's why when Dabney said that about education, he was saying, you know, we're looking at educating the whole man. What is the end purpose of education? You know, you can have vocational education and, you know, learning higher level math is a vocational thing, just like learning welding. But education is really about the spirit and the soul. And if you don't understand that, we're in big trouble. And so when I look at this and I look at the fact, okay, Chinese students, they're actually teaching them practical things instead of, you know, what our kids are being taught. The deliberate dumbing down of them includes not only not teaching them anything that could be of any practical value to them, but teaching them things that are going to essentially imprison them. The idea that they are victims, the idea that they have to hate other people because of their skin color. Of course, those other people are white now, right? It used to be you hated people because they were black or whatever. That was the lesson of the Democrats in the early 20th century. Now the lesson of the Democrats is, no, you hate people who have white skin. Everything is racism with them. It's just the different groups change over time, right? They always have the same tactic. It's just the groups change. So, you know, to pit men against women, to pit heterosexuals against homosexuals and vice versa. That's what it's about. It's about gender gaslighting. It's about pedophilia. It's about that kind of agenda, but it's not about any kind of practical education. And so, yeah, that is something to complain about. But when I look at what's going on in Hong Kong, I can tell you these people understand what is really valuable. These are people who are willing to fight for their liberty. And that's the thing that my grandparents understood. Yeah, they may not have had esoteric knowledge, academic knowledge, but they understood human nature. They understood the nature of government. They understood the nature of liberty. And they would fight for it. And that's what I admire going on in China now. Not the math, but the fact that you've got hundreds of thousands of people reinvigorated after they refuted the Chinese authoritarian force being used against them. They defied that, and they've taken to the streets again. And now those protests are spreading to mainland China. They have lit a fire of liberty in Hong Kong. And we'll talk about that when we come back. We've got to take a break. We'll talk about how that is spreading. We'll be right back. Welcome back. So what is happening in Hong Kong? Well, over the weekend, after we had the U.S. pass the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, they had the first permitted protest for quite some time. And what that act from the United States says is it says that Washington will curb Hong Kong's special economic status if China violates the One Country, Two Systems Act that they passed. It's essentially a treaty that would ban Beijing from imposing communism. In other words, saying, all right, Hong Kong is under China, but China will not be able to impose communism on them. They elect their representatives, except for the chief representative, the chief executive. Carrie Lam is that person right now. She is appointed by the Chinese communist government. And again, the people in Hong Kong understand that there really are fascists. They call them Nazis. Both the communists and the Nazis are authoritarian. The difference in the past has been that communists always lied to people to get into power by saying that they were internationalists. Everybody, all different ages and races and nations and everything. We're going to bring everybody together in one big umbrella. The fascists, on the other hand, appealed to people in order to get power. They said, everything for the race, nothing for anybody outside of the race. Kind of like the La Raza today, that kind of racism. And they were also hyper-nationalist. And so, they're authoritarian. But the other hallmark of it was that the communists would nationalize and take control of everything and try to run it themselves. They would kick the people who knew how to run the businesses and the industry and the trains. They would kick them out, and then they would try to run it themselves. The Nazis, on the other hand, wanted the trains to run on time to the concentration camps. So they allowed the people who had built the trains, who ran the factories and built the airplanes and the bombing factories. They allowed them to stay in charge of that. But they just took kind of a business interest in it, if you will. And that's exactly what the Chinese are doing. That's why they're fascists. They are hyper-nationalists. They're trying to create a worldwide hegemony. And they're authoritarian, and they have a merger of government and of industry. So they really are nationalist socialists, Nazis. Nevertheless, this one country, two systems, Beijing was not going to be allowed to impose their authoritarianism, let's just call it that, on the people of Hong Kong. And so that's what the U.S. Congress and President Trump signed. They said, if you do that, it's going to have economic consequences for Hong Kong and for China as well. So on Sunday, they had, for the first time in quite a while, the police issuing a permit for large-scale protests in the city. It was what they called a Never Forget rally to thank the United States. It was reportedly the largest, again, as I said, they've had in some time. 380,000 people attended. However, the police claimed that it was only 16,000. kind of the same types of games that you see here. And they were waving their hands with five fingers in the air to illustrate that they had five demands from this government. Now, Carrie Lam, the person who was appointed by Beijing, had agreed to one demand back in September. But they said, no, we have five demands. And so their slogan, waving their five fingers in the air, is five demands, not one less. Now, what are the five demands? They're not that extraordinary, quite frankly. The full withdrawal of proposed legislation to allow Beijing to extradite anyone present in Hong Kong into China's repressive and secretive prison system. This goes back to something very similar to what we saw with the American Revolution, right? Somebody that the local governors who were appointed by the crown in America, if they didn't like your politics or something that you did, they would send you back to the UK to be tried. And they said, no, we don't like that system, and we want to be tried by our peers. Because they knew that their peers would look at some of these laws and say, we're not going to enforce that against somebody, even if they violated that law, kind of like they did with the Quakers and William Penn. They said, you can't have a Quaker church. You can only go to the Church of England. Well, he clearly violated the law. They arrested him, and the jury turned him loose. It was jury nullification. And so that was very important to the colonists, that they be able to nullify that, that they have a local trial by jury of their peers to stand in judgment of the law, as well as the facts of the case. And so that's very similar to what we had once upon a time, understanding. They understand this stuff in Hong Kong. Funny how that works. Freedom for all political prisoners, they said. The direct election of all lawmakers, and that would include the chief executive, who is now appointed by China. And an end to government referring to protests as riots. And finally, an independent investigation into police brutality. you know, just showed you yesterday that story that was on Infowars.com where they had the guy who was on WeChat, a social media network in China, and the police hauled him in and said, what do you say? You don't like the police or this or that? And they tied him, they handcuffed him to a metal chair. It's like a high chair, and they had a bar that went around his chest. And they just berated him because they didn't think that he was obsequious enough to their authority. There's that picture. Isn't that amazing? You know, they've got bars around his legs so he can't kick out. They've got his hands handcuffed to kind of like a, you know, high chair table there. And then a bar around his chest so he can't move at all. I mean, he's nailed down. And then they just interrogate him. And that was smuggled out. That's what they don't want. And you shouldn't want that either. But you're going to get it if you don't wake up and look at this system that is being imposed on us by the technocratic elite partners of China. People like Jeff Bezos and Google and Elon Musk. These people are working with China. They want to do business with China. They will shut down your free speech here just like they did in China. You know, remember how outraged people were? Oh, look at this. You know, Google is doing everything that China says in China. Well, they're going to do what China says and what the U.S. government says here. We're going to get both the authoritarianism of China and the federal government here in America. And it'll be administered by those, the Silicon Six that are escaping paying taxes and that are getting the government to subsidize their products like Elon Musk. And Jeff Bezos and the Google crowd there. Anyway, they issued a permit for them. They said, well, it's not 380,000, it's only 16,000. They issued a permit to go from 3 to 6 p.m. on Sunday. But at 4 p.m., they said, we're canceling your permit. And then after the people were gathered, they said, we're going to cancel your permit. And then they attacked the crowd with tear gas and pepper spray. And so some of the people fought back in some of those neighborhoods. They responded by attacking crowds even with more force. One elderly lady was pushed to the ground. Her head hit hard as she knelt down begging the police not to disperse the protesters. They did it anyway. And now people in nearby Guangdong, which is right across the border, are now pulling up just like you, Hong Kong. It's spreading. We'll be right back.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a.
And now, the David Knight Show.
Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner, you'll hear.
You'll hear on every street corner in Guangdong, just like you, Hong Kong. They are openly defying in the city that's just adjacent to Hong Kong. They have signs and slogans that are out, revolution of our time, and just like you, Hong Kong. So it's starting to spread. It's a sign that people within communist China are informing themselves regarding the protests, and they're doing it through unapproved means, reports Breitbart and Hong Kong's newspaper Apple Daily. And this is something that Pat Buchanan addressed, and he's actually worried about this because he says even though, you know, he supports the liberty of people there, as I do, but anybody who has watched Washington and how fickle it is and how politicians make promises to us, we can't help but have a sinking feeling that we may be setting these people up for a fall. Ultimately, as Pat Buchanan points out, Xi Jinping is not going to back down. As Pat Buchanan put it, he's no Mikhail Gorbachev. He's not going to seek appeasement. He's not going to seek a detente. No, this guy is full-on authoritarian. And he is not like the previous generation of leaders in China. Now, he harkens back to the strong will of Mao. And he believes, like Mao, that power comes out of the barrel of a gun. And so Pat Buchanan says, are we willing to impose sanctions on Beijing like we have on Venezuela, Iran, and Putin's Russia? He said, some of us recall how the Voice of America broadcast to the Hungarian rebels of 1956 that if they rose up and threw out the Russians, we would be at their side. And the Hungarians did rise up, and we did nothing. And it was one of the great bloodbaths of the Cold War. So are we telling the protesters of Hong Kong, we've got your back? And we really don't? See, that's the saddest thing about this. The fact that these people are waving American flags, they believe in the principles of liberty, as Milton Friedman did reports back in the 1980s. I remember the series Free to Choose. He talked about how Hong Kong was one of the freest places on earth because the British ruled it with a very light touch. They didn't care about it. And so they just basically left the people on their own, and they created a very free society. And they got used to freedom. And they believe in the ideals of America more so than Americans do. It's not just that they're better at math. They're better at life than we are. They really do understand political power. And they understand liberty. And they're going to be on their own, quite frankly, because you're not ever going to have anybody step in there and help you. Nobody is going to carry you to a feather bed, to a state of liberty on a feather bed, as our founders understood. We do have, you know, what is going on with these different resolutions that are being put out there. They're being put out there to pander to individuals here internally, like this particular one, the Uyghur bill, if that's how you pronounce it, the Muslims that are in China that are being attacked. Did you ever see this kind of concern for Christians being persecuted in China? Never. Still don't. Still don't. Oh, and they're being persecuted just as much as the Muslims are. And the Falun Gong. It's not just because I'm a Christian. I think what they're doing to the Falun Gong is horrible as well. But you never saw Congress pass a resolution condemning that. And certainly they're not going to do anything to condemn Christian persecution. I mean, we'll let the Muslims sentence a woman to death because she got a drink of water, Asia Bibi. And nobody lifted a finger here in America to try to help her or to put any pressure on Pakistan, our so-called allies. Nobody ever paid any attention to any of that. I mean, they're tearing churches down and persecuting home churches, which are the real Christians there, the ones that have buildings they pretty much already sold out. And they found out that they couldn't appease these tyrants. No matter how much they compromised, it was never enough for the communists. And yet, nobody can do enough for the Muslims. What does that tell you about the religion of the elite? It's as much of a lesson as what we see with what's going on with the pedophiles and so forth. I want to tell you a little bit about our Cyber Week specials here briefly. We have added some new specials. We had a Black Friday special, a Cyber Monday, and now we have a Cyber Week special. And we have upped the ante. We now have not only free shipping and triple Patriot points, but we've got a lot of higher discounts and special combo packages that we put together. We've got 75% off of the AM-PM 8-pack power stack. We also have the Change Your Life trifecta pack. It's a X3 nascent iodine bottle, Brain Force Plus, and an 8-pack power stack, $140 off. We have combined a free bottle of Brain Force with DNA Force if you get the DNA Force for 50% off. Or you can get Survival Shield X2 or X3 Nascent Iodine for 50% off and also get a free bottle of Brain Force Plus. We're calling it our Cyber Week special, and we are challenging you to think outside of the big box retailers or the online retailers, the people like Amazon and the Silicon Six that decide that they own the internet and they own your free speech, and they're going to put you in cities that they also own and track everything that you do. They're going to be the instruments of the kind of oppression that we see in China right now. The social credit systems that the Chinese have set up, that's already being worked on by Facebook, by Google, and others, in coordination with our own government. We've got our Department of Homeland Security talking about how they want to roll out face scans in all the airports next year. You know, we have been fighting this kind of control and tracking and surveillance of our movements from the very beginning. You know, when they first rolled out the body scanners and started doing the pat-downs in the airport, it was InfoWars. When I came here, it was InfoWars that was leading the charge. On that busy Thanksgiving Day weekend, the busiest travel day of the year, we organized a boycott. And TSA then just shut down everything, let everybody walk through without scanning anybody on the busiest day of the year. The whole thing was a fraud. And we've organized that type of thing. We've pushed back against that. We've warned you about surveillance. We've told you how this system is being put together and what the end game is all this time. We really do appreciate you standing with us. And we challenge you to think outside these big retailers and to take a look at the products that we have. As I pointed out, even something as simple as giving the gift of a good night's sleep, you know, knockout, 50% off. I've had friends who have contacted me and said, I can't believe how effective that is. Best night's sleep I've had in a long time. I've talked about my wife's friend's husband and how effective it was for him. He even said it was so good I had to think it was something else. So he got off of it for two nights, and he couldn't sleep again. So he went back on it. And it's not just melatonin. It's a lot of different ingredients. I've used melatonin in the past. It's got a little bit of melatonin in it, but it's got a lot of natural products, and it's more effective than just taking melatonin on its own. That's just one example of how we put together great nutraceuticals. We got great prices, 50% off, 75% off of some of these. Triple Patriot Points, you're going to get 15% discount on future purchases and free shipping right now. Our biggest ever Cyber Week specials. Take a look. There's too many items here to go through them individually. A long list of items. I mean, we've got Ultra 12, B12, our B12 supplement, krill oil, pollen block, super silver skin cream, topical skin cream. And we even have our silver bullet, colloidal silver, 67% off. Many items you'll find at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do appreciate your support, and we really do need it at this time. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We had a major announcement. Cue the music. Yes, that's right. We have had a development in the presidential campaign. Another one bites the dust. And, you know, we have a large graveyard of candidates. I mean, we still got something like 15, 16 candidates in the running. But we've got even more that have bit the dust. And we had another one yesterday, Kamala Harris. She dropped out after 316 days. Our campaign has been about fighting for people whose voices have not been heard or too often ignored, and we will keep up that fight, she says. Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Yeah, she's going to try to get in, I guess, as a running mate for somebody. That's how she's going to keep it up. But going back to, there's a list compiled by Rolling Stone about their final words as they dropped out and how long they were in. But I'll just go down the list of different people. See if you've even heard of any of these people. Steve Bullock, Joe Sestak, Wayne Messam. All these people were in. I mean, you know, Wayne was in for 238 days. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I do this for a living. Of course, you have Robert Francis Beto O'Rourke. He dropped out. Tim Ryan, Bill de Blasio. He couldn't get anybody. I don't think he ever budged off of the 0% polls. Kirsten Gillibrand, Seth Moulton, Jay Inslee. We had John Hickenlooper, Mike Gravel, Richard Ojeda. There's a lot of people I've not heard of. I mean, Richard was in there for 79 whole days. And then, of course, Eric Swalwell. who had, I think, the most appropriate final words. The parting words of Eric Swalwell as he got out, as reported by Rolling Stone magazine, he said, weaknesses will be flushed out and a leader will emerge. Well, we all know that he went on with Chris Harris shortly after that and something else emerged as it sounded like it was being flushed out. Yes, his flatulence followed him even after he exited the campaign. So we hope that these people will let us rest in peace, even though we don't wish that for them. But then there's Kamala Harris. What happened to her? Well, she said it was one of the hardest decisions of her life to get out. Well, I have to say, Kamala, it wasn't your decision. It was a public's decision that you get out. Nobody was supporting you anymore. I've taken stock and looked at this from every angle, and over the last few days, I've come to the hardest decision of my life. My campaign for president simply doesn't have the financial resources that we need to continue. In other words, I'm as broke financially as a DNC. Get woke, go broke. Yeah, that applies, especially for politics, doesn't it? And as InfoWars.com points out, her decline began when she attacked Tulsi Gabbard in July. Let's play that clip, video clip number 10.
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record as a prosecutor and that she'll be a prosecutor president, but I'm deeply concerned about this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris, your response.
Yeah, Anderson Cooper's trying to cut her off. You're doing too much
as
damage.
As the elected Attorney General of California, I did the work of significantly reforming the criminal justice system of a state of 40 million people, which became a national model for the work that needs to be done. And I am proud of that work. And I am proud of making a decision to not just give fancy speeches or be in a legislative body and give speeches on the floor, but actually doing the work of being in the position to use the
being
power
a hypocrite.
That I
all right,
have
that's all of Kamala Harris that I want to hear. Unfortunately, we don't have to hear any more about her anymore for a while, at least. And, of course, that was, I like the way the Washington Examiner put it in their headline. Tulsi Gabbard knifed Kamala Harris in July. 4 months later, she has died from the wounds. Yeah, she used her own words against her. And it was a fatal hypocrisy, talking about how she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and laughed about it when asked if she ever smoked marijuana. And she also lied about it. You know, she said, oh, yeah, I used to listen to this group when I was in college, and that group didn't exist when she was in college. She lied about so many different things. Even her family called her out on the slavery issue and the racism charges and so forth. Breitbart has a collection of six times that Tulsi Gabbard tangled with Kamala Harris. You know, it wasn't just that stab. I mean, sometimes it was a self-inflicted wound. You just heard that one where she got her on her prosecutorial record. But then after that debate, she goes in there with Anderson Cooper, and she thinks that she's going to pull it back, and she gets really smug and arrogant, and she stabs herself with a knife. She says, I'm obviously a top-tier candidate, and so I did expect that I would be on the stage and take hits tonight, and I'm prepared to just move on. Well, now she is moving on several months later after she bled to death from hypocrisy. The Harris campaign blamed the Russians for Gabbard's masterful takedown of Harris's record. You know, she went on then, started to call her part of the Russian propaganda team. And then Gabbard got back and said, you know, don't throw me into that briar patch. She attacked her for being pathetic and cheap. And then she went on to talk about the rot in the Democrat Party, did Tulsi Gabbard. Because this was, you know, Hillary Clinton, as well as Kamala Harris, were attacking her, as well as Buttigieg. You know, Buttigieg was also pushing war. And she attacked them on being influenced by the foreign policy establishment in Washington, represented by Hillary Clinton and other foreign policy. Finally, an enraged Harris snapped back at Gabbard for criticizing Obama. And Tulsi replied that Harris was, quote, trafficking in lies and smears and innuendos because she cannot challenge the substance of the argument that I'm making, the leadership and the change that I'm seeking to bring about in our foreign policy. Yeah, she's the one who took her down. So, I mean, who's left now, right? As I pointed out the other day, yesterday, you've got Joe Biden at the top and still in a Harris national poll. And yet, as one political operative for the Clintons said, Biden is kind of Mr. Magooing his way through this campaign. I think that was the best characterization of what Biden is doing I've seen. He stopped at the Cornstalk Cafe in Iowa. And you can see it. Show the picture there, the guy sitting there at the table. He was not impressed. He's trying to watch a football game. Totally unimpressed by Biden. I was like, yeah, I'm not interested. I'm watching this football game. And so as he completely gave him the cold shoulder, some reporter that was there said, I asked the guy, are you not a fan of Biden? And he says, who? I can almost sympathize with Joe Biden over that. Now, my wife and I, the business that we were in, we were in a video retailing business for a while. And we went to conventions. We'd go to conventions where they would promote different items and so forth. And they had a guy, I won't mention his name because I don't want to embarrass him anymore. But he was a medical advisor for one of these network morning shows. And he had put out a video that he wanted to sell people. And my wife and I were there, and I turned around and said, oh, look, there's Dr. So-and-so. And she turns around, and he was sitting there kind of looking forlorn. Nobody was paying any attention to him, had his elbows on his lap. And when I said, oh, there's Dr. So-and-so, he just perked up like, you know me. And my wife turns around, looks straight at him and goes, who? He just wilted. I mean, that was exactly what happened to Joe Biden at the Cornstalk Cafe. So I kind of sympathize with that, but I don't agree with him on anything. So I think he needs to leave as well. And then we have Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, who says that she is being deluged with requests to run again. Let's play video clip number one, where Hillary is just being demanded here. Oh, we don't have time. We're out of time. Oh, well, we'll have to get back to that. But, you know, I think the Babylon Bee had it right when they said, yeah, she's got many, many voices that are telling her to run. I think this lady needs an exorcism, not another run at the presidency. Yeah, she's got lots of voices, lots of voices. That's it for the program. Thanks for joining us today.